we look at this passage before us this evening, we would like to come to focus on the simple phrase of Jesus, "Come unto me," the invitation of Christ. In order to understand the context of that great offer, the great offer of rest, the great offer of salvation, the great offer to be free from burden, we need to look at the context. Verse 25 says, "At that time Jesus answered and said," who was speaking before Jesus answered and said? If your Bible's like my Bible, it's red letters. Jesus was speaking, and then Jesus answers and says. I think it's fair to say that Jesus said some things that he knew would raise some questions in our mind. And Jesus deliberately raised questions in our minds that he might also answer those questions. Now, if we look at those verses 20 to 24, it says he upbraids the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. And he goes on to say that if the same works would have been done in Tyre and Sidon, or if they'd have been done in Sodom, the results would have been different. Now, the natural question that would come to the human mind is this: why would you spend all the effort in a city where you know the gospel is going to be rejected and not give the same effort to a city where you know the response would have been different if more light would have been given? Does that not create a question in your mind? Let's put it another way, because Jesus is touching on the reality of life that we all have to deal with. Why is it that one person can go through life seemingly carefree, taking their chances again and again, and it seems like their life is charmed and they always get away with it? The next person watches this person as he goes through escapade after escapade, and they're sort of awed by this, and they say, "I want to try that." And the first time they try it, something catastrophic happens. And we say, "Why?" People come into our churches from the world, and they say, "You know, you have the answer. I don't understand why the people that are raised in your church are going out and looking in the world for answers, because I've been there. There's nothing there. Why are they going there? I don't understand it." And that's the reality of our life. People come into our churches from churches that don't teach the gospel. And they come and they hear the gospel and they hear sound teaching and they say, "You know, this is teaching you can trust. If you follow this teaching, you'll be led to the Word of God and you'll be led down the right path." And I talk to some of the members of your churches and I find that there are those that don't want to hear it. And they say, "Why? I don't understand. I've went to church for many years and didn't hear the truth. When I come and hear the truth, I find out that there's people that have sat there Sunday after Sunday, and it means nothing to them. Why?" Well, one thing we can say in answer to those questions is what Jesus said. Verse 26, "Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." And we look at that and we say, okay, so Jesus, you didn't really answer the question. You just simply said that God is sovereign and God can do what he wants to do. But you haven't answered the struggle in our minds. Why? Ultimately, that is the answer to the question. And it's important that we understand it, that the Father says it seemed good in his sight to do it this way. Jesus is not saying that the Father did it just to show everyone that he is the one who's in control and he loves to manipulate people and he loves to make people grovel and he loves to make people ask questions that they don't have answers for. Jesus did not say that. Jesus said it seemed good in God's sight to do this. And so if we take Jesus at his word, then we can say, well, we may not have the ultimate answer to those questions, but we have to at least acknowledge that there's good things that we can learn from why God operates this way. What can we learn from this? I believe we can learn this. Don't squander any opportunity to obey Christ, to share the gospel, to honor him, because we never know when that one opportunity could be our last opportunity. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, what happened? It rained fire and brimstone. We never know when the one opportunity we have may be the only opportunity that we have. What else can we learn from this? The more God blesses us, the more responsible we are. That's a clear lesson here, because the judgment of Capernaum, the judgment of Chorazin, will be far, Jesus says, far more severe because they had far more opportunity to hear the truth, to respond to the gospel. I see another truth here. Chorazin and Capernaum could have been considered good moral towns, but they rejected Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is saying here, if you are a good moral person and even strive to live a good moral life, but you reject Jesus Christ, your judgment will be far worse than the person who's only heard a small amount of truth. You know, the reality of it is that's us here tonight. We've been blessed with good moral teaching and we've been blessed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of our own nation. We've been blessed tremendously above many other nations on the earth. And I believe that part of the reason that God has blessed, and I believe there's biblical support for this, is that when a nation honors the gospel of Jesus Christ, or when a nation is one of the greatest sending nations in the world to send and support missionaries, God will bless and honor that nation for that reason. And so Jesus raises these questions. Some of these questions will remain in our minds. As we go through life, we will see certain events unfold and we will say, why, Lord? Why? Why couldn't this individual have had a second chance? If you would have given them a second chance, I know they would have responded. Why? We can't answer that question other than to say to those who are with us yet, don't squander any opportunity. So Jesus, I believe, further elaborates on the answer to these questions. And he begins by saying, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. So the first thing he does in answering the question is saying, God, I'm glad you hid the answers from the people that demand an answer. That's essentially what he's saying. For the people that seek out all the questions and try to answer everything in life, God is saying, I'm specifically hiding some answers from us. I went through Job one time and I counted the questions that Job raised to God. If my memory serves me right, I think it was around 87 questions that he asked in a row to God. And when God responded to Job, it's interesting that he did not answer one of those questions. Not one. The main question behind all those questions was Job saying, God, why? And when God was done speaking, Job still did not have the answers. But Job says, I abhor myself. I humble myself. And say, God, there's many things in life that I don't have answers for, and I'm fine with a lot of those questions. In fact, when God responded to Job, and I guess I need to make a correction. It was God that asked Job, I believe it was, 87 questions that Job could not answer. I never counted the amount of questions that Job raised. But what God did is he asked Job a number of other questions that Job had no answer for. And God was basically saying to Job, you know, there's a lot of things in life that you don't have answers for, and you're fine with that. But when it comes into your life, and there's something that you can't understand, and you ask why, you can't let it go. And Job humbles himself and says, I'm just willing to be your servant and nothing more. So God has hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and he has revealed them unto babes. And if we put ourselves in this context, the context of a child, a small child, asking questions, and most of us have been parents that have had small children, know that eventually the children start asking questions. Some of the questions that we can answer, we sit there and we say, how can we answer this question in a way that the child will understand it? In other words, the question is really beyond the child's ability to understand the answer. And that's really what God is saying here, is that the answer's hid from the wise and the prudent, but you've revealed them unto babes. But how does a babe ask a question? A babe may ask a question from which if God would respond and give the answer, they couldn't comprehend it anyway. But God reveals enough that is all that we need to live the life that he has asked us to live. And we see that in verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And so there's a degree of truth that comes to us, sufficient truth. We've been given everything that we need. Peter says, we've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So we've been given sufficient answers to live the Christian life. We've been given sufficient answers to do all that God has asked us to do. Jesus says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. In other words, everything that the Father has in his wisdom, in his plans, in his purposes, are all given over to Jesus Christ. Therefore, the only way to understand or to get a glimpse of what's in the mind of God is to come to Jesus Christ. Until you come to Jesus Christ, most of what's in the mind of God will always remain a mystery to you. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And as we come to Jesus Christ, because in him are hid all the wisdom, or the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And as we come to Jesus Christ and as we grow in a relationship with him, God begins to reveal to us some of the mysteries of his will. And so the answer that I believe that Jesus gives to man is this: come unto me. He never tells us how many answers we will receive or how much knowledge we will receive. He says that there's a certain amount that's going to be hid from the wise and the prudent. There's a certain amount that's going to be revealed unto babes. You know, the child largely depends on its parents. The younger the child is, the more they depend on their parents. And I believe that that's why Jesus used the word babes to teach us that those who come unto him and those who are revealed the wisdom that's in Jesus Christ are those who are babes, or those who are the smallest of children, those who are totally dependent upon their parents. You know, a child can do very little for their survival. A child can do very little, who is a baby, I should say, to take care of themselves. They rely wholly on their parents to provide this for them. And that's a picture of the implicit faith and trust that we are to have in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come unto me. Who is to come? Those who labor and are heavy laden. If I could put this in a more common context, who are those who are labor and are heavy laden? Most of us who are husbands here and have children know what it's like when our wives go through the period of pregnancy. And there comes a period of time where they enter into labor, and the desire at that time is to be delivered, to give birth. And the closer it gets to that time, the more the woman learns it or yearns for that to take place. And that's a picture of the person here who's bearing the burden. Who is the person who can have their burden lifted? The person who yearns to have it lifted. You know, the more the burdens weigh us down, the more we can look to Jesus Christ and say, he wants to lift our burden. Jesus Christ is in the business of lifting heavy burdens, burdens that we feel that we cannot bear. That's the picture that's given. All that labor and are heavy laden, those who are bowed down with their burdens. All men carry a burden. As unbelievers, we carry a burden of sin that weighs us down until we come to Jesus Christ. As believers, we're weighed down with many of the cares of life. The scripture says that we're to bear one another's burdens. Let each man bear his own burden. And the inference is that all people have burdens. All people have things that concern them very much. And Jesus is saying, if you're laboring or heavy laden, if you have heavy burdens, come to me. And so the invitation is for all those who are burdened. All those who are at a place in their life where they may not know what to do. And so if you're burdened and you'd like to be delivered, come to Jesus. Why may I come? Or why should I feel that I may come? Well, first of all, Jesus' invitation is open and very general. Jesus does not describe the burden in any way. Jesus simply says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. It's a general statement to all burdened people. We know because the Father has given all things to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, in turn, extends an invitation to burdened people. We know that God then desires burdened people to come to Jesus Christ that he might lift their burden. The Father looks with approval on all those who come. It's the Father's good pleasure to reveal himself to us through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been given the power to invite. All things have been delivered me of my Father. Perhaps this seems in one way simplistic. Come to Jesus. We hear that all the time. But think of it in this way. When you are trying to figure out how to deal with a difficult situation, remember Jesus' words, "Come unto me." How many times do we struggle with burdens that we really don't want to come and see what Jesus Christ will do for us? Jesus says, "Come unto me." That is, he commands us to come. If he commands us to come, that means we may come. Not only may we come, but we should come. We come unto God only through Jesus Christ because everything has been given to Jesus Christ. There is no other way to come to God except through Jesus Christ. We cannot say that if we believe in God, it is enough. It is not enough to say that if we honor God or we do religious duties for God, that it is enough. You know, if someone would have went and spoke to the folks in Bethsaida, Chorazin, or Capernaum, whether they believed in God, they all most likely would have said yes. Everyone who rejected Jesus Christ most likely would have said that they believed in God. Most likely those same people, if you were to ask if there was any blessing or benefit for living a righteous life, they would have said yes. That God's way is better than man's way. In fact, these people would have been very zealous of religious duty. But in all of our religious duty, and it can translate into rules and regulations that we have set up for our homes or set up for our churches, which may be good and which may be godly, but without Jesus Christ, religious regulation is nothing more than hypocrisy and damnation. That's what Jesus said. If we're trying to live a righteous life, and we're continually burdened down, we feel like we're laboring and are heavy laden, instead of looking at our religious duty, we need to come to Jesus Christ. Why do our souls need rest? If we're living in sin, they need rest because the Lord has said, "There's no peace unto the wicked." And until we come, we won't find rest for our souls. Now it's interesting what Jesus says in how we find rest for our souls. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." In other words, come unto me, all you people who are working hard and who are bowed down with your work. Your work is causing a heavy load in your life, but yet you're a worker. You're determined to work through this. Jesus is saying, if you're determined to work through this, if you are determined to work it out, you're not going to find rest until you come to me. And then notice how he tells us how he's going to respond when we come to him. He first says, "I will give you rest." That's the promise. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for rest. And so we have that as a promise. But then he says, "Take my yoke upon you." Wait a minute. He says, if you're working hard, you're laboring or heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest, and I'm going to give you rest by giving you a yoke. I think the key is my yoke. You know, we can work hard, but if we're not working with Christ, it's in vain. We can do a lot of church work, but if we're not yoked to Jesus Christ, it's in vain. We can work hard for our family, but if we're not yoked to Jesus Christ, it may all be in vain. I notice that we're to take our yoke upon us, and we're to learn of Jesus. And so I see two things here that we are to do. We're to be a worker, and we're to be a learner. How does this translate into a person who comes to Jesus Christ? This is, I believe, is a identifying sign of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. A true disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who is a willing worker. That's what Jesus is saying. Take my yoke upon you. That's one of the signs of someone who has come to Jesus Christ. I'm willing to work in your vineyard. I've worked in my desires all my life. I've done what I've wanted to do. I've tried to accomplish my goals and my ambitions. And now I'm saying, Lord, I lay it down. I'm willing to work for you. What is it that you would have me to do? And secondly, learn of me. The second sign of a true disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who has a teachable spirit. A willing worker and a teachable spirit. I've tried it my way. Now I'm willing to yield my will. I'm willing to yield my work. And I'm saying, Jesus Christ, yoke me to you and teach me. Jesus builds his church with people who are willing to work and people who are of a teachable spirit. What a contrast Jesus was to the teachers of that time. They tended to be arrogant. They tended to be impatient. They tended to be condescending. We can see that in how they related to the people. You were altogether born in your sins, and dost thou teach us? Is that what they not said to the blind man? Is that not condescending? What's the character of Jesus as a teacher? I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know, when we sit in the presence of some people, you can almost get the impression that we will never be good enough to meet their expectations. When some people present their case or their desires to us, we can get the impression that we will never be able to do enough to meet their expectations. Jesus is saying, when you come and sit in my presence, I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest unto your souls. You know, when you come to someone for advice, and they take upon them the character of Jesus Christ, and they're meek, and they're lowly, and they're working for your benefit, you feel at rest and at ease because you know that everything that they tell you, they're only telling you because they love you. And they want this to work out for your benefit. What a difference it makes. And that's what Jesus says. Jesus says, come unto me, because when you sit and work for me and learn from me, you're not going to be under that burden of never are feeling like you've never worked hard enough, you've never accomplished enough, you've never learned enough. That's the challenge for us when we model Jesus Christ. And people come with their needs. Do we try to lift their burdens? Do we try to yoke them to Jesus Christ? Do we encourage a teachable spirit to be a willing worker? And do we seek to ease their load, to put them at rest? I'm not sure where all of us are here tonight, what our struggles are, what our burdens are, what our challenges are. Perhaps we're in a role where we're being mentored or discipled by someone else. Perhaps we're in a role where we're called upon to disciple another. Either way, this speaks to our heart. Come unto Jesus Christ, learn of him, respond to those who are trying to help us in the way that Jesus Christ is asking us to respond. The opportunities that we're being given to respond Christ-like, we never know when that may be the last opportunity that we may have to respond appropriately. We never know when we're teaching someone whether this will be the last opportunity that we may have to share Jesus Christ with them. If you have a burden, Jesus has a promise. I will give you rest. If you have fears, Jesus has an invitation. Come unto me. If you're not sure how things are going to work out, yoke yourself to Jesus Christ, because then you're going to be going in the direction that he's going. That's the beauty of being yoked to Jesus Christ, is because in Jesus Christ, we may not know where we're going. We may not know how it may turn out, but we can say, I'm with him. I'm yoked to Jesus Christ. Wherever Jesus Christ takes me, I know that I'll be where he wants me to be, because I'm with him. We struggle sometimes to allow ourselves to be yoked to Jesus Christ, but Jesus says, being yoked to me is far less of a burden than being yoked to the bondage of our own will. There is no greater taskmaster than the devil himself, than our own human will. Trying to please ourselves or trying to find fulfillment in our life by doing our own selfish things can be the most unpleasing and unhappy and frustrating experience. And all the time, we're under the delusion, thinking that we're in control of our life and we won't give it to any other. To find rest, we need to come unto Jesus Christ. I remember a friend that I've come to know, lives far from here, shared with me what his previous life was like. And even looking at his current life, you can see where, you might say, where God needs to do more work in that individual's life. But when you see where God has brought him from and the testimony that he has, you can see that God has done a mighty work. You can see that he's yoked to Jesus Christ. You can see that he's moving in the right direction. And this individual that I'm sharing with, he came from a very rough background. He overheard people saying that they don't think that he would ever respond to the gospel. When he did respond to the gospel, people were making bets on how long it would last. And his words to me were this. He said, Paul, he said, I know my life is not what it should be. But when I look back at what it was, he said, I see grace flowing like a mighty river. That's what Jesus offers to us. Come unto me, I will give you rest.